All right, Acts chapter 10. As I mentioned, Cornelius, he was a man in Caesarea, a centurion, and he needed the Lord, and the Lord sent in a vision to him some things that opened up the door for the Gentiles, and he sent some people to get Peter. Peter came back and preached the gospel to Cornelius. And Cornelius got saved. I ain't leaving. But we got to have some air up here. I don't know. But Cornelius got saved, and those in his house got saved. And he said, who forbids water? In other words, he knew that they were saved. They were going to heaven. And next step is obedience. Follow Christ in baptism. I do want you to understand, baptism has nothing to do with salvation. I'd dump you all day long. But if you hadn't trusted the Lord Jesus, baptism ain't going to give you salvation. You get saved. And if you don't ever get baptized, well, hey, guess what? You'll end up in heaven anyway. Amen? So, they didn't take the thief off the cross. The thief, by the way, I've had people say, well, I don't believe in these deathbed salvations. I got news for you. The thief on the cross, he wasn't in a deathbed. He was on a cross dying. He wasn't going to be taken down and nursed back to health. He was dying. And the Lord Jesus looked at him and said, today, you'll be with me in paradise. And there wasn't no baptism with it. Baptism is not for salvation. So in verse 47 we see of chapter 10. He said, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized? Notice this, comma, which have received the Holy Ghost as well as we. In other words, when you get saved, boom. It happens immediately. You get the Holy Ghost. You don't have to wait on it. You don't have to wait and speak in tongues. You ain't got to wait and take the Lord's Supper. You don't have to wait on, a week for the Holy Spirit to consider it. No, when you trust the Lord Jesus, it happens like now. That split second, and maybe even faster than that. That's when it happens. It happens the second you get saved. He said, can anybody forbid water? In other words, why shouldn't we baptize? You got to understand Peter's situation. He was in a Gentile's house. He wasn't supposed to be, according to the Jewish law. He wasn't supposed to be eating what they ate. Chances are he did later. I'd say he had a hot dog or two and maybe some sausage and eggs for breakfast. But I would think he would. That'd be the first thing I'd do. I'd say, you got any sausage and eggs? Fried? Grits? How many in here's ate grits? Hey, amen. We got some good people here. Man, if you eat grits, now you don't put sugar on them, just salt and pepper, and you put them in, you take an over medium fried egg, and you mash it all up in there. Hey, it don't get much better than that. And then a cat head biscuit with a slab of bacon on your plate. And you drag that biscuit through molasses. And if it don't leave half of it laying in the plate, that ain't a good biscuit. I'm ashamed. I should have told my sister-in-law, but maybe she won't listen to this. She'd get mad at me if she would. Gave me a roll the other day for breakfast. A roll? I'm in the southern United States, just about as south as you can get, and I ain't get a cat head biscuit. I got a roll. Tell Kathy not to listen to this one. No, I love her. I really do. She's a sweet lady. And I didn't complain. Actually, the roll was pretty good. Had butter on it, and we put some Mayhaw jelly. You know what Mayhaw is? They don't have that out here. They only have it in the South, and it's some kind of a berry-looking thing, and they only produce every 7 years. And they're $5.99 a jar. And I brought two of them back in my cowboy boots on the plane. And man, it's good jelly. But anyway, I better get on. So Peter, no doubt, was honestly, he was probably in a little bit of shock. Because he saw these guys, realize these guys, Gentiles. We're talking about the worst folk on earth. By the way, you're included in that. they got saved. Peter's probably like, but the Lord had already told him, listen, what I call clean, don't you call unclean. And that's what the whole thing with the sheep was that come down. He was, not only was it about food, because no doubt if you hang out at somebody's house for two or three days, you're going to have to eat something. And it probably wasn't kosher. And so, but it was also about the fact gospel was going out to everyone. And it says, and he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, then prayed they him to tarry certain days. Now, as we've been studying in Acts, you've seen, what was that proper? You've seen, she shook her head. Hey, I'm doing good. You've seen different ways that people trusted the Lord. Now, it's all through Jesus, okay? It's faith in Jesus Christ. But in this part of Acts, the first several chapters, it come across in different ways. Some of them was the apostles laid hands on them. Some of them it was the tongues come down. It's been all a different way, but it's all about faith in Jesus. Abraham got saved the same way because he had faith in God. And that's what it's all about. Now, here, though, you find out that it wasn't by laying on of hands, wasn't by cloven tongues, it wasn't by any special prayer that was said over. It was they received the gospel and the Holy Ghost all right then and there. That's the way it happened from there on out. And that's the way it happens with us. Robert, the other night in the truck, it was my niece's pickup. We were sitting there. I talked to him about the Lord. He decided, he said, you know what? I need to get saved. He prayed and he asked the Lord to save him. Immediately, right then and there, he got saved. Amen. He got the Holy Ghost. All right then and there. All of it he's going to get. You don't get pieces and parts here and there. It all happens at one time. Now, it says in the apostles... Well, now they asked him, they said, it said, then prayed them, he tarry certain days. And he did. I think Peter stayed there and taught them some things. And in other words, a discipleship. See, there's something we got to be careful with. This is why when I pushed it with him, with Robert, when I led him to the Lord the other night, I said, your next step, you need to get in church. I said, yes, you're going to heaven. I said, there ain't no doubt to that. If you've truly trusted the Lord, you're going to heaven. I said, but you need to get into a good scriptural New Testament church and get under discipleship. Amen. Because we need to know how to walk our Christian life. I know all about Abraham, and I know all about how the Lord called him and said, all right, follow me. But how does that apply to me? That's the whole idea of discipleship. How does it apply to me that David killed a giant? How does it apply to me that after David had messed up and he wrote, I think it's Psalm 51, begging for forgiveness and mercy and thanking the Lord that he wasn't dying, because honestly, he was supposed to be stoned to death, even the king. But the Lord had mercy on him. See, how did all that apply to us? That's what we've got to be learning. And that's what discipleship's all about. So I told him, I said, you need to get into a good church. And there's several down there. And so anyway, he's going to be baptized in one Sunday, which is, wow, that's. I'll be honest with you, I'm about ready to say hallelujah, because I talked to Brother Craig today, and he says, Oh, brother, he said, we had two people in the little mission down there. He said, during service, he said, at the invitation, he said, they come forward, accepted the Lord for salvation. And I said, woo, man. And he said, and then we got a guy that he said, on his own, he had gotten saved and baptized. And he said, all of a sudden, I hadn't seen him for 3 weeks. And I'm like, what's the deal here? Well, he had went and found a job. He felt like, he said, you know what, I need to be doing my part. That's what it's all about. And hey, it's exciting when you see people getting their lives right, and you know that it's all through the Lord. Amen. It says, and the apostles and brethren that were in Judea, these are the special guys, heard that the Gentiles had also received the word of God. Now, they heard what Peter had done. And when Peter was come up to Jerusalem, they that were of the circumcision contended with him. In other words, the circumcision. That was the Hebrews. That was the Jews. That was part of it. The Gentiles were not circumcised. That was part. Let me explain to you real quick. Circumcision. And I'm not going to go into detail. But basically what it meant, people got it the wrong way. Basically what it is, when the skin was taken off, it was all about you're no longer living for the flesh. The flesh has died. You're supposed to be living for God now. That was what it was about. It wasn't, oh, we're special and better than you. No, it was, the fact is, they were supposed to die to the flesh. That was God's example of it. That was, so he did a, he had Abraham and he had Moses and he had Joshua, by the way. They all did this to the children of Israel, and they actually done it again. Moses did after with some of them. And it was all about, listen, guys, we're not living for the flesh anymore. Amen. But see, we're circumcised in heart when we get saved, and we're not supposed to be living for the flesh anymore. But that's who these were. These were that select group. Peter was with them. They were Jews. They thought a little bit more highly of themselves. Didn't think too much of the Gentiles. They contended with him. In other words, they argued with him. They're like, you can hear him now. What are you doing? What in the world is going on here? You're going down there into their house. I mean, you know, you could see them now. He says here, verse 3, saying, thou wentest into men uncircumcised and did eat with them? Oh, God. Oh, you can't do that, Peter. Here, get some Listerine. Go take a bath. I mean, you know, you got to wonder how far they were going with this. Don't be surprised if you're not treated the same way today. Sometimes you can witness to somebody or go into that side of town, cross the tracks, and somebody may look at you, you've been down there with them? Yeah. Listen, Jesus told Peter, it's for everybody, Peter. It's not just for you guys. It's for all mankind. God said he would that all men would get saved. Not just all men of Judea. No, it was for all men to get saved. And they contended with him. They got upset with him. And I love what it says. Thou wentest into men uncircumcised? Oh, good grief. You know, you hanging out with hippies now? You mean you go down there to the homeless and talk to them guys? I mean, some of them ain't had a bath in a month. I got news for you. Some of them ain't had a bath in a year. There's one guy that shows up down there. What's his name? He wears a coat all the time. Eric. I don't know his last name. He, when the day I met him, he had a Dallas Cowboy coat on. Good guy. Anyway, even though they did lose tonight. They give the game to them. But nonetheless, they felt sorry for the Packers. I understand. But, you know, he was wearing this jacket when I first met him. Now, mind you, this has been close to 4 years ago. Up until last year, he was still wearing that same jacket. He wears it 24/7, 7 days a week, and don't matter if it's 5 degrees or if it's 120 degrees. He's got that jacket on. I've seen him standing there in line and sweat just rolling down this guy. But he's got that jacket. And finally, I'm talking, it was hanging in shreds. And somebody talked him into putting on a different jacket. He don't, you know, he don't go get a bath daily. Yeah, sometimes it's a little smelly down there. But guess what? They need the gospel. They need to hear about Jesus. And then some of these uppity folk, they need the gospel of Jesus too. And all in between. It's for everybody. And that's what Peter did. Peter, honestly, Peter followed what the Lord said. Peter wouldn't have went there without God telling him. So, and didst eat with them? Well, there's the answer. If anybody ever wants to know, if did you eat kosher food while you were down there, Peter? Now, it's one thing to go in the house. But Peter, sausage? A dead pig? Come on, Peter. We can't even touch a pig. Well, it says right there he ate with them. Yeah. Maybe they fixed him something kosher. I doubt it, but anyway. All right. But now verse 4, but Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, he said, I was in the city of Joppa praying, and in a trance I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as it had been a great sheet, let down from heaven by four corners. And it came even to me, upon the which, when I had fastened mine eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, arise, Peter, slay and eat. But I said, not so, Lord, for nothing common or unclean hath at any time entered into my mouth. But the voice answered me again from heaven, what God hath cleansed, that call not thou common. And this was done three times. And all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come unto the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go with them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me. By the way, I've got some witnesses. These six guys came with me. They were going down there with me. I wasn't alone. If you're going to jump on me, you got to jump on them. He was using... Anyway, and we entered into the man's house. Notice he said we, all of us, entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in the house, which stood, and said unto him, send men to Joppa, and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter, who shall tell thee words whereby thou and all thy house shall be what's that say? Saved. Now, I've had people tell me, well, Cornelius wasn't lost. He just needed to understand more. Not according to this verse. According to this verse, the vision, the angel told him, you get Peter, you bring Peter down here, and he's going to tell you things that you need to know so that you and your house can get saved. That pretty much says it pretty plainly. And as I began to speak, the Holy Ghost fell on them as on us at the beginning. In other words, hey, as I was talking to them, I realized, listen, the Holy Ghost is with them just like he was with us. Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, John indeed baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. For as much then as God gave them the like gift as he did unto us who believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, what was I that I could withstand God? You ever withstood God? I have. What was I thinking? I wasn't thinking. not sensibly. Peter said, after all of this, because they were contending with him, and he went through all of this rehearsed it all, how it all began and how it all came to him. And he had the six witnesses with him. And he said, and hey, I followed this. The Spirit told me what to do. And I went in there with them. And I did this. And these guys got saved just like we did in the beginning. And who am I to withstand God? In other words, God told me what to do. I ain't stupid, fellas. That's really what he's telling them. Look, I'm not a dummy. God said, do this. Okay, I'm going to follow the Lord. That's what he did. He followed the Lord. And it says in verse 18, when they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. They realized that they weren't that special group of individuals. They never were, by the way. Really and truly, God chose them. And they were to be an example to the world so that the world would want what they had. And they kind of messed that up. Oh, but we wouldn't do that, would we? Yeah, we've kind of messed it up too. We've had arguments in churches. So we've seen churches. I've seen churches just have a fit over the color of the carpet. And pretty much split. And part of, well, we'll just go start our own. Good grief, what an example. You know, the Jews, when you read about them, Milagros has been reading the Old Testament. When you get deeper into it, you'll see that one day they're serving God 100%. The next day they're serving some kind of stupid idol. You ever read over there? I love it. Over there in Exodus, Moses brings them out. They make it to Mount Sinai. Moses goes up on Mount Sinai and he's going to get the commandments from God. And while they're there, while he's up there, him and Joshua, Aaron, his good brother, has seen all of these miracles, and he makes them a golden calf so that they can worship a golden calf. It's like, what do you, I don't know what they smoked back then, but it must have been good. And then Aaron has the nerve. Moses comes down mad as a hornet. You ever seen a hornet mad? Oh, they get... throws the Ten Commandments out, busts them all up in pieces, and said, what, and I'm paraphrasing, what are you doing? He said, well, he said, we just threw it into the fire and poof, out popped this calf. Lion dog. He made it for him. And he lied to his own brother and God right there on the mountain. And he's like, anyway, that's why I said they had to have been smoking something. I don't know. It had to have been good because, man, he was just blurting junk out. I'm like, good grief. You know, but listen, don't hold it so hard on them. We do the same stuff. We mess up just like they did. You know, I was reading the Old Testament one time and I watched and I'm like, man, these people are so stupid. I mean, God did this, God did that, and then they did this. I'm like, and then I got to thinking, well, yeah, God did this for me. God did that for me. And then I did this. Yeah. So that's when you turn to a different page and you say something good. I'm just, you know, you need to get out of that. You got to regain everything. You know, really and truly, these guys accepted what was going on. They realized, hey, Peter wouldn't have done this. Listen, they knew Peter. They all run with Peter for years. They knew good and well that if he walked into a Gentile's house and if he sat down and ate with them, that God must have told him to do it because he wouldn't have done it on his own. And they accepted it. Now, as we go on through Acts, we'll find out that they kind of flip-flopped back and forth, and they sort of separated themselves out a little bit from the Gentiles, and Paul got on to them, which was I thought was funny. But all in all, they accepted them, and this is a super verse at the end of verse 18. Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life. Amen. I am glad that it's not just to a select group of people. Because guess what? There are no Jews with the last name Smith or James. They've got some different names. I think Goldberg. I wasn't a Goldberg and I ain't kin to none. But you know what? The Lord granted salvation to all who would accept. Next week, we're going to pick up at verse 19, unless the Lord changes that. But tonight, I don't know, maybe the Lord spoke to your heart that, you know, maybe you might, there may be some people that you know that, listen, they need the Lord. But you've avoided going there because it's like, well, they're different. That's all right. You pray about it. You ask the Lord to lead you in the direction to be that example for people. And the Lord will do that for us.